Okay, it starts at the top with the 2012 NES report regarding staff seats, which is where we look at the reversal for the staff election, where the person who numerically won a three-year term because of the amount of voter support, but could not have completed that term. And I should say this, that actually was apparently sent to the, maybe to the Elections Committee of 2012 and to the ED of 2012, who I think was Engelhardt. I don't think people actually noticed that. I understand from a report that I read, and it's part of the NES's report, election report that year, that sometime perhaps in August or so, he sent this memo and he also maybe mentioned it on a committee call. I'm not sure about that. I wasn't on the board. And said that, well, you know, what my plan is that if in fact people get terms that are longer than their six-year max will allow them to serve, I'm going to reverse the results, which is what he did in the case of Pondejour and Faircloth, and what he did in the case of Campbell, Johnson, and Bruce Wolfe. Okay. And then immediately under that, where it says Dennis Watson in blue, it's highlighted in blue, the changes that he made. Are you guys with me now?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Okay. And then it shows the actual computer results. Right? It all happened in the same round. It's really not that significant. But and then the same thing for the listener seats. And then as you page down a little more, you show the 2012. I show all the 2012 computer results, including the reversals that he made. And then after the, I don't know, what is it, like maybe 18 or so named people who were on the ballot, I think they had about 18 to 20 people on the actual ballot, people who had gone through the whole candidate process, then you have the write-ins. And please correct me if I'm wrong. I have certainly seen people who appear in the election results referred to as runners-up, whether or not they were originally on the ballot or not. And in D.C., in the 2012 election, there were actually 27 such people, many of whom are still staff, and therefore they were not considered when the board was looking at a way to fill the seats. And some people who, as Jane mentioned, were staff at the time, but were at the time that they were written in, but were not staff by the time they came to use this list. All right, and there's a report which was attached to her minutes, which I was also sent to you guys. I think it was in the December minutes, showing who she reached out to and who she couldn't reach, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so that's what, that appears to be a difference in definition in terms of, in my view, for simplicity's sake, they're all, quote, runners up, whether or not they initially ran through the whole campaign period. So is there anybody who is who has a major problem with us using the term runners-up to describe the people who I've seen election reports refer to as runners-up?
Well, Serene?
Yes.
I can understand Jane's objection. I don't have an alternate term at hand, but if it's possible to clarify it without making it cumbersome. I don't know if that's worth considering. I don't know if that would be helpful or needlessly complicating.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm not convinced that it is significant. One, because I don't know that legally they're not considered, quote, runners up, but that it is a common enough term that covers their eligibility for consideration, specifically because, according to Jane's own notes, in May, the board passed a motion that in filling seats, they would go through the write-in list.
Well, you need two lists. You need one list called runners up, and you need another list called write-in alternate pool, and so we understand. First, you went through these, then you went through these, and that's what I would do. I would just make up a designation so that history isn't sort of buried in the sands of Egypt. So it's not just all the past. It's like this happened and then this happened. I don't know if it helps. It might address Jane's. It's a way of not forgetting that an intermediate step. Sometimes intermediate steps should be forgotten, but sometimes you need to remember them as part of the history. And that's a judgment call, finally.
Okay. So how do you want these other folks designated?
You could call one group runners-up / election, and then runners-up / write-in candidate pool or something, and that they're in, I don't know. I mean, that's just off the top of my head.
Okay. You have that, William?
Yeah, runners-up versus runners-up write-ins.
Or runners-up / election, runners-up / write-in pool. Or write-in candidates. Just, I don't know. You guys can think
runners-up candidates and runners-up write-ins.
Excellent.
Excellent.
That's the kind of thing I like. Yeah. But place one above the other, or indicate that one group. I assume one group was exhausted first, and then you went to the second one. They weren't just picked like on a smorgasbord. It was one and then the other, correct?
Right. Yeah. They had exhausted their quote regular runners up list when this motion was brought to then look at the write-in.
Okay. So all I don't know which names go in which list but if you made. So the runners-up in order, you would just break that up. I'm looking at I assume I'm looking on page 2. So it would be, you would just have the capital letters runners-up designation. You would have two of those instead of just, you'd have two runners-up lists, two shorter lists with the names that Mr. Hairwagon just gave. And then in parentheses, that's my suggestion. And
that's fine. Nancy, are you trying to say something? Am I hearing you?
No, that's not me. It's somebody else.
There's William. William going to ask. I don't see a list called runners up. I just see the list with all the numbers.
What I actually wrote was the 2012 computer listener results, because it's the computer that generated this list. I didn't make them up. But
no, well, I'm looking at the summary of the names separate from the chart.
Okay,
maybe it belongs somewhere else.
Oh, I see. It's above that computer.
Yeah, I'm looking at page 2. The 2012 NES report re-listener seats. I assume the computer, as long as it wouldn't create confusion or contradict it may contradict what we're looking at on the computer chart, and maybe that will be confusing if we see names in a continuous chart and then a names on two lists. I don't know if that would, anyway.
Yeah, it's no problem. I'll create two charts, computer results. I'll put the listener results. Whatever the language is that William has. I'll show where the runners-up who were named on the ballot as opposed to those persons who were written in on the ballot.
Right. You can call them balloted or whatever Mr. Hairwagon said. Did he say election? Yeah, either election or write-in or balloted or write. Balloted is actually a good word, too. Either balloted or candidate. Candidate is the same as balloted, I guess. And then write-in. Candidate, whatever Mr. Hairwagon, he either had election or write-in. Or you could say, Mr. Hairwagon, do you think you have an idea?
I had put runners-up candidates, and runners-up write-ins.
Okay, okay. So that's like the least consequential part of the problems with D.C.
Okay, I understand.
I mean, it's good that you've offered language, and I'll insert that in what I send to the elections committee for tomorrow night. But that's like not the major problem.
Understood.
And in fact, you know, I'll say that on page 2 of the report, the bottom of page 2 of the report of the narrative where we're discussing the issue, it says the LS suggested solutions, the LSB filled 3 vacant listener seats using the 2012 runners-up list that included declared candidates and write-ins. So there was never anything that, you know, attempted to say everybody was officially on the ballot and, you know, I mean, anyway, whatever. Okay, so going back to the problem with D.C., looking at page 2, they've had 2 of the narrative reports. They've had 3 sets of 3 rounds of seating of replacements. In December, they did 3 listeners and 3 staff, and then they did 2 listeners in December. I'm sorry, 2 listeners in January. But as I think is clear, there's a level of disagreement about what level of confusion may have been at work, but there clearly has been some confusion because otherwise you don't just put 3 people into 3 seats. And there have been, I'm sorry that Jane didn't stay on the call for this. There have been various lists given to the LSB at various times that said, well, no, this person replaced that person and that person replaced that person. So people were given specific, if incorrect, information. Jane says that at the time, she felt that all seats were going to be vacant in December 2015, so it didn't matter who was moving into what seat. That's not generally the way I know the LSBs to operate, and that's why we currently have a problem. All right. So looking at the top of page 3, they did a replacement for 3 listener seats. And mind you, you know, if you look at the vacancy date, the first of these occurred in March of 2014. One occurred in May. One occurred in June. They were filled in December. The LSB filled 3. So, and 2 of them had a 2013 term ending, and 1 had a 2015 term ending. And my recommendation, and we should probably vote on these as we go down, is that it would be reasonable to expect that the runners-up and or write-ins, I'm sorry, what do we call them, the ballot-in or the write-ins? Candidates or write-ins would be filling the vacancies in the order that the vacancies occurred, in the order that the candidates or write-ins appear on the list. Does that seem reasonable?
It does to me, William.
We're kind of doing this retroactively because apparently they didn't do it then.
Correct. Well, I agree with you.
All right, so they'll the 3 assigned seats will their term ends will be related to Serena, say what you just said again so I can understand it.
Okay, so we have someone who we have a vacancy that occurred in March of 2014, one that occurred in May of 2014, and one that occurred in June of 2014. All 3 were filled at the same meeting. My suggestion is that the fairest way to approach it, considering that it wasn't clarified at the time, or apparently or reportedly wasn't clarified at the time, would be to put
people in those spaces in the order in which those candidates or write-ins appeared on the final list from the election, from the election report. You follow? So that March, if you have an opening in March, the person who was number 10 on the list would be put into that position. The opening that occurred in May, the person who was number 13, and the gaps here are because people either were not interested or people were staff, right? So that the May opening would then go to the person who's number 13, and the June opening would go to the person who was number 20 on the list. Hello.
Okay, so
this is at the top of page 3 of the report.
Right. So, and the name, and the runner-ups were Pinchback, O'Rourke, and Abbott, correct?
Yes.
In this particular one that we're talking about.
So the problem is that the seats emptied out at different times, but they were filled at one time.
Right.
That's a problem. That's I've never had to experience as a secretary. That has not happened.
I mean, it's not just that they were all filled on the same date, but that according to the report, the most recent reports from the secretary, they weren't filled with any specificity about who was getting which term because she believed that all the seats would properly have wrapped in December 2015. So she didn't think it mattered. What other people thought or understood at the time is not clear.
And it doesn't matter because if there's no record, then it doesn't. I mean, it's just opinion. It's like the Federalist Papers don't determine the law. You know, it's opinion.
Right. And I mean, if we have the vacancies occurring, you know, 1, 2, 3, then you fill them with the runners up or write-ins. One, you know, the candidates or write-ins. 1, 2, 3. I mean. It's got to be somewhat impartial, you know.
That's what should happen. Well, obviously, we all want to fill seats as soon as possible, and so of course it goes without saying.
I mean, these people are on the board. They've been on the board since December, but it seems that it was not made clear who was getting what term.
Okay, this is William, acting as whatever I am, pro tem note taker. I'm contemplating writing this down. I have written it down. I'm hoping that people would agree that this is the sense of what we're trying to do. The December 14 listener seats are to be filled in the order of runners-up who are available.
Well, the language is actually right at the top of page 3. And I will say this is opinion, right? This is my recommendation that the term inheritance for this particular 3-person term inheritance package should follow the rule that the first opening goes to the first qualified runner-up.
Okay, so I'll use that phrase. And now I'm suggesting that do we ask now the people on this call, do we agree with that?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I do.
I'm probably going to abstain because I don't think I'm not smart enough.
You're way smart. Come on. But
don't say that.
Huh?
I mean,
I think you could get someone to draw straws on that question.
we're all smart enough.
No, the thing is, what wasn't made clear at the time still.
I understand the ambiguity you're facing. If I put this before my governance committee, they might jump down my throat and tell me, well, obviously you do this. So I feel, you know, I'm not thinking deep enough. No, I mean, I trust you. I mean, you did the work, so I will trust your judgment. That's my attitude at this point.
I just don't see. I mean, if you have a list, I live in New York City, so you're dealing with, list of test results here, list of test results there, and so on and so forth. If there's an opening in a particular agency, and you have, there are three openings, that position has to be offered to the, sometimes they may, let's say, to the top three people on the list. They can't arbitrarily say, we're going to offer it to numbers 7, 8, and 9 when numbers 1 through 6 are on the list and available. You know, I mean, things have to be done, sounds very regimented, but things have to be done in a certain order. If there's a vacancy and I'm the first person on that list, I'm the first person who should, assuming I'm available, I'm the first person who should get it. So I don't even know how any of these people feel about the people who, for example, might be continuing into next year based on setting up some sort of impartial system to do it. I don't know how people feel individually, and we didn't get to this because Jane mentioned it in the middle of something else when she was saying, oh, well, this person should be asked if they really want to continue because they don't come. And that's not something for this group to decide. That's something for someone who's a friend of the person to have a conversation with, or if they want to bring it up in an informal board decision or whatever the case is. Our job is not to make the decisions based on the individuals, but to find a system that is fair.
Okay.
So
we had two. I agree with Serene, and Mr. Gary abstains. Nancy, do you have an opinion on this?
Well, I was almost going to ask, shall I email or call two other members from WPFW since Jane got off the call, Benito or Jim Brown. So far, I think all we got done was the candidates write-in, or I forgot how we did it. Anyway, making a differentiation there. But, yeah, drawing straws is better than just continuing this kind of limbo. That was some proposal there. I mean, that if anybody else or that board can come up with a better way, that would be, give them something to start with if they want to improve it. But that would be better.
What's your vote on this?
Well, we're not up to that one yet.
Oh, what are we voting on?
Not only that, but, with all due respect, this issue has been out there for a while. Folks can decide that there are better ways to resolve it, and they're welcome to explore those and to bring it to governance or to the PNB or whatever. The group of this task force is just clarify what's happening with the terms of people, the election terms of people who are on the board right now, tonight.
We're talking about the ones that replaced Campbell Johnson, A.C. Byrd, and Abby Charles. In other words, we're talking about Ron Pinchback, Tom O'Rourke, and Riley Abbott.
Well, can I just say this? Obviously these are individual people, but I'm careful. The reason I used their numbers,
yes,
where they rank on the list, is because it can't become about the people. And that
right.
always comes up once you start doing the names, which is why I listed people in the order in which they appeared on that final election report, right, the computer-generated report. So it's not about X, 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 and Y. It's about we had three listeners.
The process.
It became vacant in a particular order. We had three people who were on that election results list they happened to be write-ins because the board had by then apparently exhausted its balloted runners-up or its candidate runners-up candidates, or is it the other way around? Whatever. So the only question we're voting on right now, Nancy, is whether placing people into seats in the order into vacant seats in the order in which those persons appeared on the final list seems reasonable.
Oh, that would be the fair way to go.
Okay, so that's one batch of seats. Also in December, there were three staff seats. The I'll just read from the report, from the narrative. The LSB filled three vacant staff seats in December 2014. There were no 2012 runners-up. You can see the secretary's report to the LSB in the December 2014 minutes about staff notification. There were, in fact, three applicants present at that December meeting, and they were replacing three staff people, two of whom had terms that would have ended in December 2013 had things been normal, and one of whom would be replaced in December 2015 had things been normal. And the recommendation there is that they should draw straws. These three, we should mention these, because there were no runners-up, they took expressions of interest. They sent out apparently emails to the staff at least twice, and three people expressed interest. So those three people, there's no particular order in which they came into the process. They all responded to the same call.
Mm-hmm.
So my proposal is that they draw straws to see who gets what term.
And these three were all at the present their staff, right?
Yes, their current staff.
Okay.
Okay, can I make a suggestion?
Please.
That we also put in that instead of, I think somewhere I read, let them define what the straws mean, why don't we define it? The first or best straw or the longest straw gets the 2015 seat, the other two get the 2013, the seats ending in 2013.
I think if the proposal to have them draw straws is approved, that whoever is doing the straws can clarify that at the time. I don't think we need
okay.
to get into that level
okay.
of detail.
Too much detail. Thank you. So I agree with the proposal. Are you asking for a vote?
Yes.
Okay, so I could call the roll. How's that? William, myself, says yes. Then there's John Gary.
Yes.
Okay, and Nancy, Saibara Naratomi?
Yes. Saibara Naratomi, yes, yes.
And Serene, do you care to vote? Or?
I agree with myself.
Okay, so it's 4-0, 4 yes, 0 no, 0 abstentions. Very good.
Okay, so the third set of elections were held in January 2015. There were five people who had applied and two listener seats. They used STV. Fair vote was there. One person received 8 first place votes. The other person received 6 first place votes. There were 2 open seats. Both seats became open in December, one due to a removal, one due to a resignation. One of them with a term end date of 2013, the other with a term end date of 2015. So the recommendation was that the person who received the 8 first place votes get the longer term. So could you take a roll on that?
Okay. William says yes, that the way you depict it in the chart, and say the person with the highest vote gets the 2015 term, and term ending in 2015. William says yes. And then there's John Gary.
Abstain.
Okay, Nancy?
Yes, I vote yes on this.
Okay, and Serene?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Okay, so we have 3 yes, 0 no, 1 abstention. So.
Okay, and now there's a new, sorry?
So I'm just saying that's agreed to. Or approved.
You're just going to what? I'm sorry.
This section is agreed to or approved.
Okay. So the fourth and final election is one that is scheduled to happen in September, on September 9th at their meeting. And this is a little ironic, but in the January election, as I said, 2 people were elected. One clearly won the SDV vote, but they were given in the report from the meeting, they were given the shorter term, and the other person was given the longer term. That other person has since resigned, so we're now looking at 2 new people getting on the board. There's been an open call, I believe, on air. I think I heard it on air, but anyway, I saw it on the website, for people who are interested to apply for the seats. In addition, there are 2 other people who were part of the, help me with the language, William, the runner-up write-ins. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. There are 2 people who are part of that list who could not be reached in December when the secretary was checking on their availability. One person, I think, maybe there'd been no answer at the number, and the other one, they didn't have a correct number. They got a correct number after, you know, the process was pretty much done, I think maybe the day before the board meeting or something. This part's a little messy. Do they want to go back to those 2 people and say, are you all interested, which can still happen between now and the meeting, as well as consider the, and if both are, then that pretty much resolves the 2 seats, or it could. If neither or only one is, then, you know, that person would be guaranteed a seat, I suppose, based on the previous motion of the board to use the runners-up, use the write-in list. And then the other seat would be open to those who have applied using the otherwise advertised process. So the good thing is that both of these seats share the same term ending date, so whoever gets it is only going to have to be on the board, you know, till the end of the election. So we have 2 questions there. One is, do we want to recommend that the people who couldn't, the write-ins who could not be reached in December, be contacted? And depending on those results, you know, they either see those 2, one or both of those people, and they continue with the other advertised process. Or do we just want to not, I don't know, what do you guys want to do?
Yeah, I'd say leave it up to the LSP. The most we should do is just remind them that, oh, you could check, but not try to tell them to check that list for those 2 people. But I would say let the LSP do it, actually.
Well, I mean, it's the LSP process, period. So we're a working group of a committee. We can't make anybody do anything. This entire process is about making recommendations to the committee, which might then make recommendations to the board.
Serene?
Yes.
So I understand that there were write-in candidates that they tried to contact but were unable to contact, correct?
Right.
Okay. And so a write-in numerical list has been created, correct?
Right. But you know something? Let me clarify that I think one of these people might actually have been a runners-up candidate, not quote, just a write-in.
In the
past, I mean, one of these names might have appeared on the ballot. I'd have to double-check the actual ballot.
Well, then obviously that would be you. In fact, at our last LSB meeting, we left an open seat because we couldn't contact someone. We left it open, basically, because we couldn't contact the first alternate, and we just let that hang until we contacted the first alternate. Then we moved ahead. So I always really value the first alternate. So that, I think that needs to be clarified. I mean, the secretary should know what that is.
In fact, the
election results should be posted online. I mean, ours are, and I mean, luckily, my stations are online, so I can check them anytime.
In fact, you know what? No, he's a runner. He's a runner. He is a runner-up. He was on the ballot, apparently.
Who is he?
Number seven.
Number
Larry
seven.
Bryant.
Nancy William answered your question.
Okay.
Did you hear him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think the question is, do we make any kind of recommendation to them or let them do what they want, meaning them being the LSB? They're going to do what they want anyway, but do we make a recommendation?
Okay. Can we not make those kinds of comments?
We'll try. I assume Serene, are you going to bring this as a motion before the full PNB? Is that correct?
No. I'm going to take this back to the Elections Committee, and the Elections Committee can decide what they want to do with it. I mean, I think it may end up before the PNB at some point.
Because there's a matter of
the
time.
The PNB will not be meeting before this board meets and supposedly holds elections. The PNB is meeting on the 10th. The board meets on the 9th.
So then the Elections Committee would make an informal recommendation directly to the LSB, just as a friendly gesture?
I don't know if they'll necessarily perceive it as friendly, but that'll be the recommendation.
Well, I'm asking is, what is the import of the decisions we make tonight? Well, what are the consequences, or the expected follow up? Will it go any further?
I intend to bring it before the LSB with whatever recommendations we agree on. I'm sorry, before the Elections Committee with whatever recommendations we agree on tonight. There are four members of the WPFW on the Elections Committee. So I imagine that they will have a perspective to share, and I'm certainly willing to bring a motion to the Elections Committee that they forward our recommendations, whatever, you know, comes out of tomorrow night's meeting, to the full WPFW LSB, so that they are aware of what some of the concerns are. Only because I'm not sure that, as Jane said, she's not sure how people feel, and, you know,
Serena, is it your impression? Sorry.
Sorry.
Serena, is your impression is your impression that you've developed this information more fully than the than they have?
You know, I won't speak to that. I think a lot of the people there are relatively new to governance. Well, we know that because 8 people who are relatively new to governance came on in December and January, right? But I am on my sense is that we would not be in the position that we're in with folks accepting, you know, someone's assurance that someone's unauthorized assurance that all seats were going to be, you know, ending at a particular time. Because those folks who are into governance know that the bylaws have a staggered term provision, and the only time we would end up in such a position is a quorum failure, and that they didn't have quorum failure in their previous election. Right? So it seems to me there has to have been some lack of clarity for us to end up where we are. No.
Okay, right. The decision seemed to have come from a director as opposed to
That is what was alleged. But, you know, the answer is only as good as the question. Nancy wanted this stack?
Yes. I think what we've done so far is good. What we're sort of doing is nudging the election committee to take it up, or the members of the WPFW that's on the elections committee to hear what, you know, I think it's good for them because they're right in it, and maybe for them to touch this touchy problem is so scary or distasteful, but this needs to be something needs to be done. It needs to be addressed, and so I think what we're doing tonight is good. How the results will be is I'm not sure, but I think we're in the right direction. So I think we should go ahead and make take a vote on that about the straws and the older the write-ins who the write-in candidates would be selected over the other advertised candidates that come forward. But you know, maybe the LSB has to decide whether they're going to make a deadline on how long you wait to be able to contact somebody. You can't just keep things hanging forever. I mean, life goes on. So maybe they should think about putting a deadline on trying to contact those people. Yes, so what we're giving them is actually a nudge and a way to say, well, it's not ours. It's the election committee that's in the working group is trying to help us. So it helps. It helps those that find this work distasteful, and they just need to get it done.
Yeah, hopefully someone
Go ahead.
Yeah, hopefully someone on elections will see this, see the work you put into it, and then just run with it and take it to the LSB and they'll love it. I mean, that's the ideal. I mean, hopefully it's useful. People will find it useful and will just act without, you know, everybody having to vote, with the LSB sort of acting on its, you know, making an informed decision without the PNB, without having to take this to the PNB and explain all this to them.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern is that they're meeting and they've advertised that there will be elections on the 9th. So this is an awful lot of stuff to try to clarify at a meeting and hold elections and presumably do some budget work. I don't know what state they are and what the situation is with their budget. But any help in terms of simplifying the report, I think it's clear, but I have spent a lot more time dealing with these issues than you know some others within Pacifica. So if there are any suggestions as to how to make it even clearer, they're welcome.
Mrs. William?
Yes.
I don't have any suggestions how to make it clearer. I just think we should now, since we've already approved or agreed upon the first three items with the grids, now we just agree to your to pass on your paragraph also about the new election. And, you know, just telling them about the options.
Okay, so I did look at the secretary's report of her attempt to contact this person who was an official, real, on the ballot, printed candidate runner-up. And I can read that portion of it if y'all think it would help.
Sure.
Okay, so this is in the minutes, the December minutes. Of the three remaining runners-up, Larry Bryant remains a member but did not respond to my call and is presumed to be still living in New York as he was when Ola contacted him in June. So, you know, where he's living is relevant as long as he gets to the board meeting. There's no geographic requirement for membership in Pacifica. And, you know, it was December. I don't know, people travel between, you know, Thanksgiving, Misgiving Day and whatever. I don't know. Anyway, but do we want to recommend that he be contacted as well as the remaining write-in of whom she said, darn, where's the language? Shoot, I can't find it right now. Someone else might remember where they spotted it. She said that they had the wrong number for the person, or the person's number was disconnected, and she didn't get a good number until the day before the meeting or something like that. So that explains why that person wasn't contacted. Anybody remember reading that in the minutes?
It sounds familiar, but I can't flip back and forth easily.
Oh. Okay.
So you're talking about the number 7 and number 9, Larry Bryant and Carol Jackson.
Right.
So you're saying you want to change the wording a little to suggest that they do contact these people rather than saying that they, how do you phrase it now, could decide to first check the availability of the two pool members not reached?
Well, you know, especially considering what John Gary just said about what they did in K, which is, you know, you had someone who was eligible, but because contact was not made, that they simply left the seat open, giving the person the opportunity or allowing the person to exercise their right to take or refuse the seat. So it seems to me it would not be unreasonable. It seems to me that they should make contact with the number 7 and the number 9, before that meeting.
Yes, Serena, I would include, I would include the word recommend. Instead of could check, say, if Larry Bryant is, if Bryant and Jackson were on the ballot, then I'm correct, they were on the ballot, correct? They're runners, balloted runner-ups, correct?
Right, Bryant is a balloted runner-up.
But they were, yes, I would say just because you didn't reach them in December doesn't mean their standing has been vacated. It just means you didn't reach them. So I would recommend that you contact them. And I would recommend, because you don't want them to come back afterwards and say, oh, you didn't call me, and now I'm suing you, you know?
Right.
or you know, because you never know when someone can come back and say, that's so constant, Pacifica, where people come back and hit you with, you know, after the fact kind of claim of injustice. You know, you have to guard against that. So I would mm-hmm. My personal choice word would be to recommend. That would be a recommendation more than a could. I would recommend.
Okay.
I mean, that's if you want to. That's my recommendation for a wording change. If you're agreeable to that, I don't want to rewrite your motion, but I feel strongly about.
It's not my motion. It's our motion, and I'm
okay,
totally with you.
Well, that's my suggestion. And I mean, it's not a friendly amendment. If you want to change it, you can change. I don't want to make people vote on it. But if that's my recommendation, that the balloted candidates, it's recommended to contact the balloted candidates first, even if they couldn't be contacted before. As long, and unless someone thinks that's egregious, you know, waste, I think they should be contacted.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, would you broaden that to also include the number 9 person, who I think would therefore be the second write-in, because they've already gone down to the 20-something write-in. Write-in way down on the list.
No, so the write-in list was exhausted both through non-contacts and from people declining. Is that right?
From declinations, from people not being qualified because many of them are staff, and from people not being in. And then, you know, a couple of people not being available or not being members, because apparently she checked their membership status before calling them.
Well,
Ms. William, with a suggestion.
Oh, wait, let John finish his thought.
I don't know. My gut tells me to treat write-ins differently, but maybe that's the wrong gut.
But we've already gone to there are already write-ins seated on the board who are way below this person.
Oh boy.
I mean, numerically speaking, I don't know about all these people.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean by egregious. Is it silly to go back up to the top of the list? You know, that may just sound silly.
Right, except that, remember, they did not have a good number for the person. It's not that she was not qualified. She was, in fact, an active member, apparently. They just didn't have a way to call her. I don't know what the mailing address status was. That wasn't mentioned.
Well, I don't know. Maybe what I'm talking about is easy to talk about, but if you can't contact someone, it's really frustrating. So maybe I'm making it. Maybe they tried their damnedest, and maybe I'm putting a burden on them that does it is sort of. It's sort of unfair for my.
Well, I don't know. We don't know, but anyway, I'm fine with the language of recommending as opposed to just saying, "Hey, this is a possibility." I'm inspired, as I said, by the action out in LA on that. But I would include the second write-in person because we've already gone down to the 20-something write-in person, and some of those people are on board now.
Wow.
Wow.
That's and I think I'm in a funny position because I'm so far down, you know, 9 people down my runners-up list. I think that's a weird circumstance.
Yeah, exactly. And they've long exhausted their runners up list.
A question. There's just one person that was unable to be contacted, so they passed them and went on to get other people below. Just one?
No, there were 2 people.
Two. Okay.
The last balloted runner-up and the second write-in. Now, granted, the write-ins themselves might have all, been defeated in the same round. The report does not say this person was written in twice and that person was written in 15 times. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you mean it wasn't a – okay. So each writing got one – was so there's no number. They're really not in order of preference.
They're listed in a particular order, and however the computer generated that list, that's the list. That's the order that has been observed.
Oh.
But whether that was due, as I said, somebody could have had 50, well, maybe not 50, that might have gotten them elected, but someone might have had 15 write-ins where someone else might have had 2 and one person might have had 1. But I don't want to get into the validity of the write-in list. The write-in list is what it is, the write-in list, and in that order. Yes, William, sorry.
Yeah, to make this simple, could we just change in the sentence, if they are currently members, the board could decide to first check the availability and then change that to be should decide or should check. Instead of could decide to first check, to say should check. And, or do you want to go around and reword the whole thing, come up with a new wording for recommendation?
Well, the whole thing is a recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got to change the, somehow you got to change the wording in here. I was trying to make it simple change instead of starting a new sentence about we recommend and this and that.
That's a good idea.
Can you guys live with the word should?
Yes.
Should or encouraged to, either way. Go ahead, should. It's okay.
Okay.
Two-letter change.
I mean, we're boss of nothing, so we can use the word should. Doesn't make a difference. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And both of those terms, the terms coming up for the September meeting are expiring in 2013, so that's not, well, you know what I mean, would have expired in 2013. Okay, so now we are...
So we're going to take a vote on that?
Without objection. You can
without
ask
for objection.
Without objection, Matt.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, so... the other question, and a major question really, is there are 9 listener seats and 3 staff seats open. We know that in addition, 3 other people will be term limited come December. At this point, though, they have 7 listeners and 2 staff people running for 9 listener seats and 3 staff seats. So not only does it not leave them with a runners-up pool, a quote runners-up pool, right, because you can always have write-ins, but is there a need to spend thousands of dollars on an election where
you have to have a full board?
Well, they're not going to have a full board unless they have write-ins at this rate, right?
That's true.
But why even have an election?
I don't think that's a good recommendation to come out of this work group because that's going to be interpreted as that's like undermining democracy. That's what people think is happening in this foundation. People think elections are being called off for partisan purposes, and if we question whether or not to have, you know, the people running it should question it. Not, I'm at KPFK. I should not even speak on this because it just sounds funny that I'm telling them not to have an election. I don't even want to, like, why should I want them not to, you know, like, what's my interest in doing that? It just sounds really creepy. It sounds like I'm a colonial power or something, you know?
If we're looking at needing 12 candidates to just replace, you know, the people who will be ineligible and or who should be off the board in December, not even looking at term-limited seats or any of that, between printing and mailing ballots, paying an LES, counting the ballots, how many tens of thousands of dollars are we going to use when it's obvious that the people who are current candidates, even if they only vote for themselves, are in?
Nancy, I think, John, this is not a question of undermining democracy. This is just they will all win. I mean, there's just not enough candidates unless you want to consider the write-ins as possible. Yeah, the write-ins could be possible candidates. That's true.
Is that for this working group, or should that be for – because this is LSB terms working group. It seems to me this is a question for elections.
We are election.
Some of us are governance. But let me just read the last 3 paragraphs, 4 paragraphs, which is what we're discussing now. Certainly,
And it the last paragraph is really important since we're discussing election terms. Okay.
Okay.
I said, finally, with half of the board seats, 9 listener seats, and 3 staff seats open in this year's election, it's troubling to see that PFW only has 7 listeners and 2 staff listed as candidates. That doesn't fill the vacancies or provide a runners-up pool. So what can be done to better support this process, this election process? And if the pool cannot be strengthened, should the election go forth? And
strike that
sentence. Sorry?
I think you should strike that sentence. Well, I think, I don't like any language, and I would not put any language about canceling the election or not having it go forth. Strengthening the process is, well, I don't, that's
well,
for the LES. I mean, that means opening up the candidate application period again or something, and that's an LES, an NES decision. Which elections can make a recommendation, yes.
I think it's a question that, considering our fiscal condition, we can't not ask. Because we know that everybody who is running will be elected because there are fewer candidates than there are seats.
If there's a quorum. If there's, okay, I agree.
So just in order to be able to say, well, we had elections, do we want to spend $20,000? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a question that has to be asked. I don't know that we're necessarily in a position to answer it. And I want to be able to go back to D.C. at some point. So I don't even know if I really want to express an opinion on it. I just think it's a question that we have to look at. And when I say we, I don't necessarily mean we as in this work group, but certainly we as in Pacifica before we go forward. But the last paragraph, I think, is really kind of the kicker, because from the report above, clearly there are people who, based on early reports about what they were going into or who they thought they were replacing, they may have felt, I don't have to run this year because I'm going to be, you know, either because they heard a report that says, oh, the seats are carried over, or your seat is carried over, who knows? Should those people be allowed to register now as candidates? And again, that's something that only the NES can settle, but it's something that we should consider now that we understand the extent, if you will, to which folks might have been misinformed about what was happening.
Nancy on the stack. So if the WPFW has an election and everyone who runs, of course, wins, and then there'll still be some seats vacant. So they'll be chosen from the write-ins. Okay. Now say that they don't have an election. Then everyone who runs will be on the board. There'll still be some vacant seats, which will be chosen by the board. They'll handpick, they'll, you know, listen to their campaign speech, and they'll vote on them. But isn't that a better way than just allowing any write-in who has the most number of write-ins to get on the board? I mean, they're both ways to do it, but I would think the way in which LSBs are choosing to fill their vacancies when they have no more runner-ups, like we're doing in KPFT, I think it's a better process than just taking up write-ins. Am I wrong?
It's an opinion. I mean, I don't think there's a wrong or right. I think, you know, there are boards at which when there's an open call and, you know,
and the
people
extent.
Respond to that call, you might get more of a feeling for who you're dealing with, which could be good or bad, than someone's name appearing on a ballot, someone's name being written in on a ballot. I don't pretend to have the answer to that question.
And already the election is delayed, and according to the NES, it's because no money. And so, or not enough money to go forward with it. And in fact, you know, in the past election, the 2012, the NES was complaining to the election committee, you know, not getting paid. I mean, it's complaining to us. And he was showing us emails between the IED and himself and the back and forth. I mean, he was showing, sending them to us, complaining. And then you wonder, is the NES is going to get scared that she's not going to get paid? You know, I mean, this is, we haven't even covered cost-cutting measures yet in the election committee. We've gotten so out of time each time. Yeah, the money factor is a factor, but when I think of it, write-ins compared to the LSP hearing speeches and voting, I think that's the LSP picking their own replacements is better than write-ins.
And Texas has done that previously?
Although I voted for Ralph Nader, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What did you ask, John?
No, I was just asking, Nancy, Texas has used that method in the past, correct?
Oh, we used it this year twice to elect vacancies. We had run out of runner-ups from 2012.
Mm-hmm. You know, I
and
think
we
the first
will be doing it. We'll be doing it again, I'm sure, before this year is over.
Well, then it should probably be left up to Texas. When I first heard about how Texas did this, someone mentioned to me and said, wow, those guys have guts. They just went ahead and said, okay, here's what we're going to do, and they went ahead and did it. And I go, wow, that was gutsy. That's that's
well,
good governing.
It's according to the bylaws. We can pick when there's no more vacancies. You know, we have no more runner-ups to fill the vacancies. So this is within the bylaws. We didn't do anything new. We just did it because we didn't have, you know, people to get in.
No, I think it's great that you took the initiative and it didn't become a national scandal. You guys just took care of it. That was great.
DC has done that before, you know. I mean, prior to this year's board finding replacement, DC has run out of runners-up before and taken applications, if you will, for seats. They did that about maybe 3 years ago, I think.
Well, I may have to do the same thing someday.
Yeah, if you run out.
Well,
by the end of the year.
Los Angeles is big. L.A. is big. Berkeley, you've got a lot of, I don't know, culture there. But we're a tiny station here. The two stations, WPFW is a little bit bigger than Houston. We're the smallest station. And, you know, for two places, three people, three candidates showed up at the last one. Not that many people. And the one before that, four people came for one position. So it's not a long ordeal. It's quickly done. But the money, oh, it's so expensive, John. It's $1 per mailing. It used to be in 2012 election. That's what the cost was. But then you have to pay the NES, and you have to pay the LESs. And then what we did in 2012, we hired a company to do the balloting and the tabulation, and it was over $150,000. It was awful. I mean, until that time, we just counted them ourselves. And oh, never mind.
Okay,
I'm getting off track.
So, yeah, sorry. Let's just, only because it's, believe it or not, it is 11:30 on the East Coast, and I'm quite ready to be asleep.
Can we include this, or let's take a vote? How we feel? I mean, does it still seem? I don't know. I can't answer since I'm a small station. And Garrett and John is from such a large station. Maybe the viewpoints would be different of the value of write-ins. But still, there is a method.
No, I'm sorry, Nancy. That's how to make. How to make sure that you have a full board if there aren't enough candidates may become an issue for the elections committee, but I don't know that it's – I'm fairly sure that we are in no way authorized to make a recommendation about the election outcome and how to cure the problem. We can acknowledge there's a problem, but I think our contribution to the discussion should be restricted to whether we would like to recommend to the elections committee that they recommend to the PND, that they recommend to the NES
Serena, I don't know if we can get consensus on that. I think they should go ahead with the election, and then if it doesn't work, do what Texas did, period. And I don't care what it costs. That's my view. And frankly, my recommendation is, I don't even know if we should discuss that in this document. I don't feel comfortable. Honestly, I don't feel comfortable.
Okay, no,
language in there with my name attached to it.
Okay, that's not what I was going to ask. I was going to ask whether or not we should recommend that based on the lack of clarity that existed between since December 2014 about what, who was in what seat, that nominations be reopened at least to the extent that people who are currently on the board and would be eligible to run but did not run because they were not aware or they were not certain about whether they needed to run in order to continue the service.
You're talking about the December seating or the September election that's coming up? Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about the people who are currently on the board, the December people. The December people, because the January people are less of a problem. One has resigned and the other person's in a 2015 seat. So the December seats.
Okay, I'm lost. I'm not sure what we're addressing right now. I'm lost.
Okay, so my question is whether we should recommend that for those people seated as delegates in D.C. in December, who are in seats that will term out this December, whether they should be allowed to now establish a candidacy for the board, since there was not sufficient clarity about their terms at the time and whether or not they would have needed to run in the present election. There are all sorts of places we could go with this. One, yeah, it's fair to them, and they could argue, hey, nobody told me, or this is what somebody told me, and because this misinformation seems to have been quite rife. But I know there will be people who say, well, why should it only be open to them? Well, it should be open to them because they were seated with improper information. This is through no fault of their own. They find themselves in limbo.
Yes, William.
Yes, please.
We're talking about basically your last paragraph. For anybody who needs to see it.
I'm not hearing you well, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm saying this is the last paragraph. You have four closing paragraphs.
Right, yes, that last paragraph.
Yes, some people don't want to do all four, maybe just this last one.
Well, I mean, if we dealt with four, depending on what we recommend, the whole issue of not having enough people running could be resolved.
That's true. Well, I think we should include those people, let them, but only, this is only at WPFW, or would it apply to any of the other stations?
Only at PFW. Everybody else knew what term they were in. I mean, I have heard nothing that suggests that others were unclear.
Yeah, me too.
Have you?
No, I haven't heard. No, so I think that I did not know that. I didn't realize that. Certainly, I think those people who were misinformed or were not informed that they had the right to run, then they'd have enough candidates, and then you can have your election. And like everybody else. And
okay, folks, so here's what. I'm going to I'm going to write this stuff up tonight, and I'm going to send it to you. If you can get back to me by 8 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, that way I can send it on to the elections committee. Is that possible?
Well, it's easy for me.
What'd you say?
It's easier. I'm fine. It's because it's not my bedtime yet.
Yeah. That's way past mine. Okay. So that's cool. We can do that.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah. Does that mean I'm... how soon are you going to send it? Does that mean...
It means that I'm going to start typing now, doze off over the keyboard, wake up and finish, and maybe have it done by about 2 o'clock my time, which is 11 your time.
Cool.
2 o'clock Eastern.
And I'm going to get it done in the next 2-3 hours, but I'm exhausted. I know I need a nap before I do it.
Before we close, I'd like to say I'm really happy to have joined tonight, although it was late, and got to meet John. You're very detailed. I'm looking forward to working with you more in the future, and I'm glad you're the secretary there at KPFK, and William and Serene. Anyway, I enjoyed working with you very much. I think we did something tonight important.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining, and thanks for your contribution. We should probably talk about meeting again, but we need to get into far more detail about each station's delegate terms. The ultimate aim, is to prepare a list of everyone who's been involved, everyone who's been a delegate in Pacifico for the past, I don't know how many years, but certainly we needed to begin by discussing, people's status with regard to the current election. So it's an ongoing project, but hopefully much of the work is done by computer, not necessarily, talking on the phone, except for clarifying, tricky issues.
I have a question. I want to clarify what you're saying. You want us to formulate a history, right, from the beginning?
Well,
I really haven't looked behind 2010, just 2010 forward, but you're not talking about going backward anyway, I mean, I can do that. It would be hard, but I can do that if that's what is that what you're asking?
I think we should end up with a comprehensive list. I think we may have to deal with it in sections. Not all the records are as available as they should be, and it'll take some time to create and recreate. I think the urgency was around the election and this year and what happens in December 2015.
Yes.
But, whether or not one is on a board or in governance at all, it's something that we should work towards assuring we have a complete record of.
I go back to December 2009. That's how far back I've been able to make my list of that information.
Nine. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, that's great because that gives us 6 years, which is important because of course that's when people are term limited. So that's why that was a good cutoff point. Ultimately, hopefully, we'll be able to recreate from various sources a somewhat reliable record going back to 2003. So.
2003 was the first. Was that the first year the LSBs were formed?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's a target. All right.
The bylaws were approved in 2003. The first election, I think we were first seated in February 2004 based on 2003 elections. So, yeah, the date of service would be 2004, but the election was 2003.
Okay, so 6 more years I got to find.
Well, maybe I'll start working on that. And then I'll get your letter just before I go to bed, and I'll have a good night of good Pacifica work done.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Talk to you guys soon.
All righty.
Okay. I move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.